I'm going to try to get through the introduction here, and then we'll get into the different scripture. But have you ever noticed that about this time of the year that sometimes that it isn't too jolly? Yeah. And matter of fact, I have noticed in my few years of being in the Lord, and even before that, that a lot of times things can get downright hard to take, actually. Money problems, right? You couldn't get the perfect gift. You feel inadequate for this or that, right? You got different things going on in your mind, and everybody, we have this picture of what Christmas should be, and of course our time together, maybe as a family. Any of you got an Uncle Fred? Okay, you know Uncle Fred, right? Uncle Fred is that relative that shows up and just throws water on everything, right? You know, just, contrary to everything like that. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, Christmas was not a time of, it was actually, as I can remember it, and, all my, sometimes when you think back on things, it's not as accurate as you I'd like to think, right? But really, my Christmases before I got saved and during that time were very selfish. It was a time that during the Christmas openings, there would be jealousies with me and my brothers and different things like that. Now, really? I mean, I'm just telling you the truth here. So what was supposed to be this very tranquil, joyful scene, turned into chaos, right? And we would fly on the gifts and, you know what I mean, and do all this other. There was no order. There was none of this other stuff. And then, like much of the world, turned into a drunken party. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to say anything about that, but that's kind of things that happen. And you look around here, and you go around, and I do see some people smiling. I do. Even in the saints here, some of you are smiling. And I do see, but a lot of times I see a lot of frowning and a lot of other things going on. And as that day approaches, it seems like it grows in intensity. And, the day. Now, listen, we celebrate the day. We're trying to commemorate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether you think it's this day or this day or this day, I can tell you the lost world is looking at you. And they want to see what this is all about. Right? And so you give it unto the Lord. You know, I find this, like I said, I find it. Any of you men and husband and wives, have you ever around Christmas time had tensions increase in your marriage? No? Everything goes right, huh? No. See, it's just me and you. No, I don't know. No, things happen, and tensions increase and the family gets strained and different things like that. But that's not the way it should be, should it? No, it shouldn't be that way. It's true. And I'd like to start off with Luke 17. I'm going to state a fact here according to the scripture. Luke 17. And I am going to try to give you some advice biblically, okay? So if you're not into advice today, you might as well close your ears down. But I would tell you to open them up and listen intently. This is what the Lord said. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses... What? Will come. Okay? Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, as we go over to Scripture, just a few verses, I pray, Father, that this time of the year, Lord, as a lost and dying generation is watching us, what we do, how we do it, what we say during these times, I pray, Father, that we would really portray the Christ of the season and the apostles and the saints before us, and that it would be done with joy. And Lord, let us not be naive to know that the adversary is going to be out there to try to destroy anything good. And so I pray, Father, that as we just look at a few scriptures, I pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, and Lord, you would strengthen us to be the witnesses we should be. For it's in Christ's name I pray it. Amen. And so it says, offenses will come. Now, there's more to that, and we're going to actually jump back there again. But you have to understand that these kind of things are going to happen. Has anybody ever really ticked you off? I mean, and it seems like during this time of the year, there's an increase of it, actually. And any of you been, well, many of you don't go shopping down in the States, right? So you've never participated in the Walmart crush of specials that is going on and people grabbing things and other different things, whether it be at these different points of thing, you know, special toys that they have. What's going to be your attitude if you don't get your new iPhone, whatever? Say, buy it yourself, right? No, really, what's going to go on during this time? But offenses do come. And what I would like to demonstrate through the scriptures to you is how you should handle those offenses and what your heart attitude ought to be, especially during this time, because I truly believe that any time that the Lord Jesus Christ is brought up before humanity to be glorified, Resurrection Day, what the world calls Easter, but the Resurrection Day and the birth of Christ and stuff, I do believe that the adversary, through the generations, has created systems to try to discourage and dispel that, and trying to rob the glory that is really supposed to be given to Jesus Christ and the God who offered his only begotten Son, that gave us his Son. And so we're going to go through this just a little bit. So I'd like to just say this and to begin with, okay? We know the scripture says that offenses are going to come. They're going to come. And they're going to come through different people at different times. Some of them could be relatives. Some of them could be saints. Some of them could be the lost world. I don't know how many times you've been cut off this week in traffic, but it seemed like driving, people are getting a little bit more squirrely. They were flying around. I don't know even where they were going, trying to pass me here, and I'm doing 10 over the speed limit already, and you know, they're flying past me and everything. But these kind of things are going to happen to you, and what is going to be your heart attitude during it? How are you going to handle yourself during that time? You can get you can go down different roads with this, right? But one of the things I'd like to encourage you to analyze or to think about, meditate upon it. You may be offended. Now, I've said this for a few years, so some of you that might have heard this before. You may be offended, but that does not mean an offense has been committed against you. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that. But if an offense has been done unto you, how are you going to handle it, and how are you going to handle it properly according to the scripture? What should you do? I'd like to start off with Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Because I think even at the beginning of this, and many of you know what Matthew 18 is all about, but I'm just going to take the first verse because I really think there's a summation here, Matthew 18:15, that really puts the heart of the matter to get what the Lord wants in all of these things. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him." Now, before I finish that, it says, "My brother trespass against thee." Right in our assembly, there are times that people rub us wrong. That's never happened to you? I didn't know I was the only sensitive one in our group here. You know, I try to tell people when I was up at Prince George, I tell them when I start preaching, I said, you know, I'm a very sensitive person, so, you know, be careful what you say, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think they believe me, but it is. But, yeah, you know, even amongst our brethren in here, listen, I'll tell you a horror story, right? Well, you know, there's different things that happen. Have you ever got a note where your somebody hands you a note and you're a pastor, right? You're pastoring and stuff like that, and they hand you a note, and the note says, "Hey, we really like you, but we're leaving the church." You know, that kind of thing. How are you going to respond to that one? You know, whatever it might be. And it's a very interesting thing because the Lord has left us together as an assembly, and he knew that we were going to sometimes be abrasive. But what's more important is how you handle that. It's very important. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and how many, who? and him alone, right? If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I'd like to just stop there, because that's really what's supposed to be going on here. So Michelle says something to me, I get offended. You know, she says something and, you know, it was very derogatory and I'm offended. She's actually spread a lie about me, whatever it might be. I come to hear about this. I do that. What I'm supposed to do is I don't go and try to build my case with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I am supposed to go to her and pull her off to the side and say, I'm going to rip your face. No, that isn't what you're going to do. You're going to go in a humble spirit. Did I scare you? I'm sorry. You know, you're supposed to go in a humble and meek spirit to that person, and you discuss that with them, because you're going to find out, really, I found this out. I have talked to different people one-on-one. I have, and you probably have too. How many of you, after you talked to that person, found out that they really didn't even know that they did anything against you? It was not their intent, or it wasn't like they're trying to be caustic or anything like that. The situation just came up and it was misunderstood. Most of the time it ends up that way. And you discuss it with your brother. And if they are at fault, let's say if you were starting a rumor or something like that, if they would confess it and acknowledge it, what does it say you've done? You've gained your brother. The relationship it's talking about. He didn't lose his salvation. It's the relationship. It's a brother and sister relationship that we who were supposed to love each other and care enough about each other that relationship be not broken. And so when these kind of things happen, and they are going to. People are going to disappoint you. Ever been disappointed by people? You say, well, every day. Oh, well, probably. I wouldn't doubt that. I really wouldn't doubt that. It happens. But you need to have an understanding that the whole thing, even with this portion of Scripture here, it is to gain thy brother. It is the relationship that needs to be restored. And that's what you're after. And then in Luke 17, we were there already. But go back to Luke 17. I find this, it puts a smile on my face in the sense that I go, these apostles and different things, this was real people here. Because in that same portion of Scripture, in verse 17, I'm believing it's verse 3 and 4. He says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Okay? And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt hold the grudge. No, thou shalt what? Forgive him. And then the apostles go like this. Increase our faith. Really, I could see that. You know, when he said that to them, I could see him, the apostles going, you got to be kidding me, right? And then they answered, okay, increase our faith, because this is a hard thing. It's a spiritual thing. It is not of the flesh. Forgiving. And of course, according to Ephesians 4:32, you know the verse, but I'm going to go there because I only have a few verses. Oops. Ephesians 4:32, if I've got the right verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what's the measuring stick of forgiveness? The measuring stick is as Christ has forgiven you. And I think back of all the sins and that Christ has forgiven me for. So what you're not supposed to do, you are to forgive, you are to acknowledge, you are to go and deal with it. If you need to deal with it, that's all fine and good. How you handle yourself, being courteous, kind, humble-spirited, and deal with these kind of things. Have your ears open, ready to listen. Ready to listen. But I'll tell you what not to do. I have a difficulty pronouncing this word, but it's ruminate. Okay? It's got a picture of a cow. Any of you know cows? Okay. They got all kinds of stomachs, don't they? So they take the coarse material They take it down to the rumen. That's the big one, right? And then what do? Hope anybody isn't feeling ill here. They regurgitate it, and they chew on it some more. And then they swallow it, and they regurgitate it again and chew on it some more. The one thing you don't want to do is thinking constantly over and over and over again about the situation. You're ruminating it. It's going to digest. It's going to actually turn into something different. And the more you think about that thing, the more it starts to bother you. And it's this circle that goes into there. You are not to do that. The scripture does not want us to do that at all. As a matter of fact, of course, there's the forgiveness, right? But what are you to do? What are you supposed to think about? You know the verse. You already know these verses. You're supposed to go to Philippians 4:8, isn't it? You know what it says, right? Go eat. If you're in Ephesians, just keep on going. 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. When you come into these situations and people offend you and different things like that, and they may have even sinned against you, you're not to go and constantly think about those things, because it grieves the Spirit of God. It grieves the Spirit of God, your empowerment. What you're supposed to think on is to think on the good. How about if somebody offends you, especially brother or sister or anything like that, that you think about it and try to think about it in a positive way, in the sense that I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking or anything like that. I'm talking about that you would give them the benefit of the doubt. Some people, I can remember years ago, now I'm going to tell you about something that happened years ago, but I'm not going to get it into the things. I had offended Ian Allen. Okay? Now I didn't on purpose offend him, but I did offend Ian Allen. Okay, he was offended. But you know what that man did? He taught me something. And I went to him and I said, I understand that there's something between us, you know? I do that. And he said, we've been together for 18 or 15 years at that time or something like that that I've been pastoring. And he said, we've been together, you know, in this congregation for 15 years. And he says, I'm just not going to let a little thing like that bother me. And I got a lesson from him, a spiritual lesson of how he thought about that thing. Because in all reality, I could have chosen my words better and the offense would not have come. So I was thankful for his reproof. I was thankful the way that he answered. And my thinking, when I think on the offense like that, my thinking degrades. It moves away from spiritual and it gets in the flesh. I've confessed it before. That's how I know when I'm wrong with Tana. And you say, what do you mean? When her and I have a disagreement, isn't that a nice word? When we have a disagreement, and in my mind, I start building my case. I don't know if you've ever done that. How dare her be mad at me? Oh, the scripture said da-da-da. You know what I mean? I can, you know, you get up to about number 10. As soon as I go down that road, I can tell you, I'm wrong. Because if I was right, I wouldn't have to have a defense. My actions are my defense. I don't have to build a defense. You need to think on these things. Because offenses will come. And they are certainly peaked at this time. And problems are going to come. And finances are going to be difficulty. But if you let these things have control of you, then you are not going to have a joyful Christmas this year. It's going to be one that you look back at. And listen, I'm going to try to make another point here. A lot of people struggle during this time. Do you not think that the parents of that little child that died out here, that they're not going to struggle? They are going to struggle. And there's a lot of people within the congregation that struggle. And why don't we give that person the benefit of the doubt that during this time, and try to think of things that will help them, that will help them through this time, to encourage them, to help them, give them a hand up during this time. Another thing to do is don't act in revenge. Act in revenge. Revenge is that you're going to get even with the person. You're gonna use this, and you're gonna think about these things, and you're gonna use this in such a way that you're gonna get even somehow. Don't act in revenge, because what does the scripture say? Revenge is whose? Yeah, it's the Lord's. You don't want to be vengeful at all. You know, we have quite a number of examples in the scripture. Of course, in Acts 8:32. Acts 8:32. Excuse me. Acts 8:32, it says, the place in the scripture which he read was this: he is led to a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And in humiliation it goes on. It's actually reciting Isaiah 53 about the Christ. That he opened not his mouth, and there was not this bitterness or anger that came out of his mouth. He's speaking of the Lord. As our example, we are not to revenge ourselves. The apostles in 1 Corinthians 4, look at what they did, the apostles. Now, these were men that were filled with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 4. And if I copied down my notes right, it'd be 9 through 13. It says, "For I think that God hath set forth the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, and working with our own hands." The point that I was trying to make on this is that in verse 12 it says, "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we what? We bless. Spoken evil of." That's reviled. Acted upon in a negative way. That's being reviled. But the Lord Jesus didn't have much to say, and that bitterness was not in his mouth. The apostles were a spectacle before men, and when they were reviled, and certainly they were beaten. You remember Paul's account, right? Beaten, and all the things that they said wrong about him, and being so vicious towards him, and he says they bless. What is a blessing? A blessing is that you want good for that person. You want good for that person. I'd like you to take this to another dimension of thinking about people that are offensive. Have you ever met anybody that's offensive? I do. I don't know a couple of people that it doesn't seem like, I don't know, the way that they speak and the things that come out of their mouth, you can take offense really easy with them because some of the things that they say are very offensive. And yet, I want to see them come to a better spirit within them. And then in us, what does it say about us in 1 Peter 3? 1 Peter 3. We'll get to the main point of everything here in just a little bit. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 10. It says, "Finally, brethren, be ye all of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto," what? "Called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile," evil, things that are not good. So even with us, we're not to revenge, we're not to do this. We're supposed to want to be a blessing to people and to bless them. And not just in some frivolous way. See, the people that you're going to run into, a lot of them that cause offenses, they're hurting inside. really, their spirit is down. There's a lot that might have come under that bridge, and there's a lot of memories that would go that are behind all this. And yes, you can say, yes, they're acting wrong, and they needed to be rebuked and straighten them out and all the rest, and there is a place for that. But I see a hard attitude that wanting to be reconciled to your brother. And when people offend and when they do these things, we want to see a blessing to them. And what the blessing is that their hard attitude would change. That they would get out of the past of what's controlling them and get into the present about the blessing of what this season is supposed to be all about. See, we want to take them. We want to see them go down that journey. We want to see things change. So don't act in revenge. Be like Christ. Be like the apostle. Be like what the Lord says in 1 Peter, that we are to bless. And even though these things are there, you need to become a victor in this area. And I understand none of us are perfect yet. I understand that. I understand that sometimes we think we have victory over something and it comes and the adversary really whacks us hard and we respond incorrectly. I understand all those things. But you need to take all of that into captivity and you need to respond and become a victor. And I say by victor, it's in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now that's that real long one that all of us, I can remember, how many of you ever tried to memorize Psalm 119? I've never been successful at it, but it would be a good thing. I 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, right? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing will trip them up. Nothing will cause a stumbling block in their way because they meditate and they know what the Word of God has to say. See, a lot of times we get offended over different things and we react to it. And we're not reacting in the right direction. And we're not thinking of what the other person might need or how we could bless them or how we could even correct them in such a way that they would hear. So that the Lord would be glorified. Many times, but the key here is in 165, it says, great peace have they that what? Love thy law. It's the scripture. How many of you read your Bible? It is. You need to understand it, and it's got the ways of having victory over this. And so you're there. And you can have this, and nothing's going to offend you. In other words, you're not going to be offended. Nothing's going to trip you up. Your thinking is going to be in such a way that even when the offenses come, that you're going to react to it in such a way that it'll bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we mature in the Lord, we have more victory over that in a percentage basis as we are more spiritual, as we understand the scripture, that we don't need to get revenge, that we don't need to ruminate on it and just meditate upon it and have our minds all corrupted by it. Don't let your past control the present. Because so many times what's happened in the past, we think about those things and think about those things and they have an effect on the present. Let it go and let the present speak for itself. And if you want to have victory this Christmas and during this season and you want it to be a joyful Christmas, then you have to get out of thinking all about ourselves. Because I was such a selfish creature before, and that's still, that old man is still here, I have to be so guarded not to think selfishly. Because my first instinct so many times is to not think in the new man, but it's to jump into that old man. And I don't want to be there. And I hope that you don't either. You want to have a great Christmas season this year? Don't let the past control the present or your future. Don't be a Marley or a Scrooge, right? Think about what the Lord has done for you. And the gift that he has given. And when offenses come, how you're going to handle those offenses. You can handle it like Christ. You can be forgiving. You can deal with things. But you're going to even deal with things in such a way that it'll be honoring unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, and we'll end there. Some of you may have already had a lot of this happened to you. And you even know that by your reaction and how you responded to these offenses and other problems that are going to come your way because of a lost and dying world, and the adversary wants victory in your life. And he's already had some victory in your life. You need to confess it. You need to forsake it. And then you need to go and do that which is right. The scripture got the answer. And in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, if you would get your mind, as I have to during this time of the year, off of yourself and start thinking about what people need, even the offensive ones. What's going on? What can best I can do as a Christian? What's the best thing that I can do to help them? If a rebuke is there, okay. If it's talking and gaining your brother, okay. If it's there that you need to encourage somebody and help them along during this time. Some people, their finances are so tight that it's under pressure. They're under this pressure. And several of us are very, very rich. You might be able to help them. You might be able to do something for them, so that they can have victory. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 says this: let nothing be done with strife and vainglory. That says nothing, right? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem what? Other better than themselves. Let not every man look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then comes that verse we know: let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. If you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray during this time, Lord, that even when offenses, as your scripture said, they will come. And Lord, sometimes we meet people that are very hard. And sometimes the adversary, Lord, is right fighting against us. But I pray, Lord, that our mind would be on others. That, Lord, even in difficult times, that we'd be thinking about what's the good, so that we could gain our brother or sister in Christ. Lord, that our neighbor could be close to us. Lord, I don't want us to compromise in anything but to follow the scripture. And I pray, Father, that our heart would be pure, that we would not seek revenge, that we would not just dwell upon this evil or the negativity, but Lord, we'd think on those things that you have encouraged us to think upon. So bless us during this season. Lord, may we glorify you as we think of what is the good for others. And may you receive all the honor and glory for it. Amen. As we stand together, please. The piano player is going to come, song leader. And we're going to have a word of invitation. If the adversary's had some victory, there's no time than now to confess it, forsake it, and trust in the Lord. But whatever you do, do as unto the Lord, please. Chris, if you would come.